Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins with us continuing to discuss some things that were said by Romeo Dobbs, which, Tausch, I have to be honest, in my experience with him, I would
pretty
have
even
never...
Keeled, I heard. Very even keeled.
Yeah, most even keeled player I've ever covered. Apparently, Packers.com agrees, by the way. They described him similarly. But I would not have placed any sort of wager that we would ever have a show in which two things that Romeo Dobbs said were fodder for our conversations.
Maybe he's not as even keeled as you think.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You can read in this morning's Wisconsin State Journal and at Madison.com about the early chemistry that there is between Jordan Love and Romeo Dobbs. And later in that story, because I did not want to make it the focus, because that would just be clickbait. And while I would certainly like to get Tausch to actually click to read the stories that I write, I don't want to do it fraudulently. I want you to read about this because it's interesting.
Okay.
But toward the end of the story, I did include a quote in which Romeo Dobbs gives us a glimpse into the level of effort that apparently was being put in by the departed Hall of Fame quarterback into connecting with these young fellows last season. And here is Romeo Dobbs at his locker saying, let's see if you could catch the ear-perking, eye-popping remark that he makes right here.
How different is the offense as opposed to last year with Rodgers, now with Love?
I mean, it's a little different. You know, I'm glad I had Aaron here for the first year because he's pretty much taught me a lot, you know, barely speaking to me. I don't mean that no other way, but, you know, he's definitely taught me a lot, and I make sure I shout him out every time, you know, he's being asked, but, you know, for the players and whatnot, but everything is pretty good, you know. I mean, I'm glad, you know, I know this is Jordan's first year. I'm glad I have Jordan. I've played against Jordan. I've gotten reps with him, so I feel like things will be pretty good moving forward.
Tausch?
Yeah.
For those of you that weren't listening closely.
What part could it have been?
I'm glad I had Aaron here for the first year because he pretty much taught me a lot, barely speaking to me.
Yeah.
Baking powder?
How did that not get more run? Because he did this, what, Thursday? What day did he say this?
Yeah, it was Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah.
And while the Aaron Rodgers comp to Jordan not being a big deal is newsworthy, that is absurd.
I'll be honest. I want to defend myself briefly, and maybe I was influenced by the balloting on the program. But I felt like if I wrote something that had a headline about Aaron Rodgers was barely speaking to me last season, that I would have been accused of focusing not forward, but backward. So maybe I should have made it into a more of a headline than I did.
Well, if you don't want people to be interested in what you're writing about, yeah, then don't do that. So I'm not going to sit here
purist.
And tell you how to do your job, but that fits the narrative of what everybody was complaining about. And listen, I understand Packer fans. We want to move forward. Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get it. But you also, you learn nuggets about what has happened and why things played out in what I call the lost season, which it 1,000% was. You can argue with me. You're not going to be right. But that last season didn't need to be the way it did, the way it played. And things like that, your quarterback and really probably when healthy, your number two wideout, and the fact that number two wideout obviously did not have a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers. There was always going to be disconnect because of the age and everything else. But you work through that, and you go through, and you get caught up, and you start doing things that will work, and you have success. But there was a ton of inconsistency last year. There was a couple of games that he was fantastic with Aaron, Tampa. You know, he had a good start against. And then there were games where it was just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how mm-hmm. that happens. You have a. It wasn't like Green Bay was littered with a ton of productive receivers last year. Romeo Dobbs pre-injury should have been, if he wasn't your one, he should have been 1B or 1C. And when you hear those things, all that does is feed. If Mike Florio gets his hand on that quote, the guys that hate Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that is gasoline on top of one of those bricks that you use to start a fire.
Duraflame.
That match will blow the roof off of that narrative and just continue to feed it, because that's exactly what people were saying. That's why he needed to be at minicamp. That's why he needed to be there. And the fact that this is the first I've heard of it, I'm not sure what the hell you guys are doing up there on the beat.
You were forced to take Friday off.
That's true, but I was there Thursday. We could have had this discussion on Thursday of last week. Is it not an eye-opening quote, Jason?
No doubt. And again, if I hope you understand my perspective on this.
No, because I don't, actually.
Okay, well, I really wanted to focus on...
You can do both, oh boy, as you've said.
I did. They're both in the story. No, the quote's in the story.
The interesting part you left to the what do you usually do? Notes. You put all this other junk up at top, the headline, and then notes.
It's not in the notes. It's in there.
I think it was
but
in the
it's a little farther down.
Bibliography.
Everything I learned in journalism classes was put the most interesting thing last.
No, the inverted pyramid. Yeah, the AP. Yeah. Look, I get it. I wanted the focus to be about the connection that they're building, because I get the sense the Packers
this is Rudy Ford all over.
It really is.
No, this is the Rudy Ford. You just wrote the
starting
Rudy Ford
safety,
article.
Rudy Ford.
You did the Rudy Ford
for now? Yeah, for now he's the starting safety. Yeah, you Rudy Forded it. Nicely done, Jason.
Everyone's talking to Rodgers for the first time in forever, or Rudy Ford. Yeah.
Jesse, how much does this bother you? Because I sent it to you, and you read it, and then you got the audio ready for us, and you listened to it. The fact that Romeo Dobbs, who, oh, by the way, remember when we talked about how Aaron Rodgers said, hey, nobody said they had a problem with anything I said. I'm right here. If they want to come talk to me, they should. Nobody's done it. Sounds like maybe you could have gone to Romeo's locker once or twice. How do you view this, having read it and now heard it?
It actually sounds worse than I thought it was going to.
He backtracked.
Like,
he knew.
He knew the second he said it, like, yeah. That
I'm not saying that any kind of way.
Any kind of way, except for A-Rod's a total jerk.
He
treated me like crap.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt in the written version of it, where it was like, oh, well, you know, I don't take that the wrong way. I don't mean it like that. And then when you hear it, it's like, he very much meant that, and then was like, oh, I got to backtrack that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that is not going to play well in my even keeled attitude that I got.
Do you believe him?
That what he said?
Yeah.
Well, why would I not believe him? Yeah. He said it out of his own mouth.
He doesn't have any reason to say otherwise.
What is he lying about now? The guy's gone. Do you think Romeo Dobbs will talk to Aaron Rodgers again?
No. Never.
I don't either.
I believe him. Like, I don't believe that was in any way, shape, or form a slip of the tongue, or he didn't mean to say that. But when you say that you learned a lot from him, with him barely talking to me.
Just think how much he could have learned had he talked to him.
Yeah, and that's, again.
Hey, Exhibit 15 of the lost season of 2022, that would be on my top 10 list.
Here's what I want to ask you, though, because this is how I feel. That's really, really, really disappointing for me to hear.
Yes.
Like, what happened? If that is true, and I have no reason to think it's not, what the hell happened to our guy? Because
that's not his deal.
There are many things that frustrated me, among them, frankly, that he would repeatedly agree to come on the show because he knows that visit every year is important to our show, and he would change plans, whatever else. And then I was pissed at him for some other things. But when I hear this, and look, I'll say this. I have a long-standing relationship with Aaron Rodgers. I really liked him for a really long time. We still communicate. But Paul always says he's never going to be the guy you want him to be. That is about as big of an indictment of how he handled last season as I can think of, when a rookie wide receiver who needs every ounce of help and advice and mentoring from you makes a comment in which he says that you barely talk to him.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bad look. And I wonder if Aaron feels like that's how, because again, there's always two sides to every story.
Correct. That's why I'm saying it. Yeah.
So I just wonder, it'd be real interesting for you to send that quote over to him and see if he has any,
I can do that,
recollection or thoughts on whether that's accurate, because I'm sure he won't. But it is, Romeo Doubs has no reason to speak anything but the truth of how he perceived or how his season went last year. And it was pretty obvious there was miscommunications and there was disconnect with Romeo Doubs and Aaron Rodgers. And Romeo still was able to do some good things. That, again, shows you, and you should be excited as a Packer fan about his talent. But, yeah, that is a glaring indictment of Aaron Rodgers. There's no other way to put it. It's your job as the veteran in the room to help your young players grow. You know, that doesn't mean you babysit them. That doesn't mean if he does something stupid off the field, it's on you. Or if he doesn't know his route on the field, it's his job as a professional. But you know what? You can make a big impact on helping him and coaching him through it and getting him on the same page. And when he said that thing about come over and talk to me in the locker, I said that is the dumbest thing he's ever said. And obviously, the players didn't feel comfortable enough to go up and have that conversation with him, because Romeo Doubs should have just said, listen, Aaron, you're not communicating with me. I need to get a better understanding of what the heck you want from me. He never felt comfortable enough to do that. That's the curse of having someone as famous and as great as Aaron Rodgers, because I can assure you right now, there's not one wide receiver, I don't care if it's Wicks, Reed, any of the young players, there's not one guy that won't go up and say, hey, Jordan, what were you thinking on this? Because Jordan is demystified. He's not a star yet. Aaron was, and Aaron understands that. He knows. He's been around long enough and seen how different guys react. This was a big miss by Aaron, and I don't think it's great that it's out in the – I mean, at this point, who gives a rip, because Aaron's gone.
Right.
But it's a bad look for Aaron Rodgers. I don't, even the most staunch defenders. And I'm guessing if this gets aggregated and you put this up on, so, and I, you know what? The Florios and the people that hate Aaron Rodgers will have a field day with this quote.
Yes, they will. I'm not going to like screenshot it and post it on Twitter to make that happen. I am going to screenshot it and I'll send it to him right now during the break.
All right.
And we'll get to some of your text messages in response to this quote next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Big announcement from the Packers, just so you are aware, as a Packers fan. Family night is set for Saturday, August 5th. Saturday, August 5th. So if you are planning your trip to Packers training camp and want to know when family night is, now you have that date, meaning we'll be starting training camp probably July 27th-ish. This season. All right, Tausch, we've gotten a few text messages. I've also sent one with a screenshot of the quote to the quarterback, so he has been notified. I'm guessing he's not just scrolling through his text messages this morning. But he has had that quote sent to him. I don't know if he was already aware of it. I doubt he was. I'm curious to see how he'll respond. Jesse, how have our fans responded to this?
I think kind of what you would expect. Jane in Wanakee, first up. Romeo Dobbs' comment is your answer from last week about the front office feeling Aaron was not all in. That's from Jane in Wanakee, and there are a few other people who have echoed that same sentiment on the text line that this kind of justifies what Goody was thinking and wanting to try and trade him pretty much as soon as possible after the season if he wasn't all in by interacting with the teammates the way that Romeo Dobbs reflected that he did.
Yeah, I just, Tausch, you're probably right. I should have made a really big deal out of this, and I was wrong not to. But I can't believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
You knew all last season. You were the first person to really get after him about not being up there. I downplayed it because I want him fresh and I wanted him ready to go. But the fact that, you know, he has never really wanted to go through that process at this point in his career, I think it was more urgent to just be ready to go and to learn and grow with young players. I think the resentment that he had towards the front office for not keeping Devontae or for not getting veterans in here with trades or whatever, I think that rubbed off on how he approached some of these younger players too. I don't think it was the fact that it was personal for him. It wasn't personal for Romeo Dobbs. It was personal for him that he had to do it, and he didn't want to do it because otherwise he would have done it. He had done it in the past when he was growing Jordy and, you know, James Jones and all Devontae and Randall Cobb as his career was going. But when you get to that point when you're older, you have a finite amount of time that you can actually get it done. You don't want to have to go through all of those mistakes to get back. And when you have to do it with two and three guys, with you, with Watson and everybody else last year, frustration goes. You have to be able to overcome that and understand the greater picture. And judging by this, and again, I'm not writing this as gospel, but I don't know why Romeo Dobbs would be lying or not telling the truth. It's not good. Not good.
So, and you're surprised that I'm surprised, but here's why. Because I would have never thought that Aaron Rodgers would be so disgruntled that he wouldn't make the effort. Because, look, he talked about it, right? Like, every year we started talking about 5 years ago, about how you have to be more deliberate in approaching young players because they're on their phones and they're from a different era than and he and I would argue that if you go back and look at some of the other young guys that have come in, I mean, once upon a time Alan Lazard was a young guy that nobody knew who the hell he was. Yes, he was the de facto number one receiver last year, but Aaron Rodgers was still a great player who had two MVPs and a Super Bowl championship and a Super Bowl MVP.
Hey, Jason, does that happen, though, if he's not on the same COVID list and have to work out in a basically in a quarantine
workout?
Yeah,
because he liked him already in 18. Remember, he told the story about seeing him working out with the other group when they would split the groups, and he was saying, you know, we need to get him over on our side with the starters. Like, yeah. I do think that. Now, do I think their friendship reaches the point that it did without them being on the COVID list together? No, I don't think it does. I think you're right about that. But my point is that he used to invest, right? I mean, MVS. MVS was a rookie draft pick in 18. And for this, if this is true, and like you said, why would Romeo lie? And maybe this is his perception, and he talked to him some, but not nearly enough in Romeo's, whatever it might be. But it's hard to spin this as anything other than you didn't do enough. If Romeo Dobbs doesn't think you talked to him enough, then it doesn't matter, Tausch, if Rodgers thinks he talked to Romeo Dobbs enough. He didn't, because what this is about is whether the rookie felt like you talked to him enough. So even if you thought you did, you're wrong. because that's how this kid felt. And you would have been better off had you invested more in him. I don't know how much better off, but this is, that's why I'm so surprised, because I would have never thought that a teammate of Aaron Rodgers could say that he barely talked to me. I learned a lot from him, even though he barely talked to me.
Well, and again, there's differing degrees of, you know, who you hang out with, and all, but when you're talking, I could have a center that I don't like, but am I gonna have to have conversations and communicate? Hey, where are we going on the? What linebacker are we going with? There's certain spots you're not afforded that opportunity. You don't have to like and be best buddies with everybody, but when you're on a team, there has to be communication. And the part that is so troubling about this is that's where Aaron has gotten to, and was that frustration? What was it that made him change his tune on that? I don't know the answer to that. I haven't been around there. I don't know. You would know better.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're surprised by it lets you know that he has been very good at this in the past, just not last season.
Jesse, do you have another text or two that you want to get to?
I do. I want to get to this one because it's a first-time texter. Eric in Chicago, thanks for tuning in. Do you think there's a chance Rodgers wanted to get as much money as he could from Goody while giving as little effort as possible, even though he just broke the bank? I mean, he didn't get him any receivers of note in the offseason, and Rodgers was just fed up with the front office and Goody. I feel like it was more of a middle finger type of move at Goody. Eric in Chicago. First time texting. Don't be too mean if you disagree.
Yeah, no, so the part that I don't think any of us fully understood is the amount of vitriol both men have for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we all downplayed it because we wanted it to be true. We wanted everything to be kosher and, yep, Aaron's going to do his part, Goody's going to do his part, and they're working together, they're talking, talking about this guy, you see him out dapping each other up at training camp, and everything's good with the world. That obviously wasn't the case, and I think we were all misled on that a little bit. And do I think Aaron Rodgers wanted to win when it came to negotiations and the money and everything else? Sure. Do I think that had anything to do with him, how he played football and did that and wanted to have a crappy year? No, he obviously wanted to go win a championship even in spite, but I don't think he felt like with the players, especially skill position, I think he knew in his heart of hearts it wasn't going to be good enough last year. And I don't know if his attitude on that was the best. And that's what was so troubling about this Romeo Doubs quote.
Yeah, I don't care how much you hate Goody. I would think he has too much pride in playing well to tank. I don't think he did that. But I certainly don't think he went above and beyond, and that's why this quote, it's really hard for me to believe that's the same guy. I would have never, ever thought that, ever. I didn't think he was, if that is an accurate depiction of his interactions with the young receivers, then he was in an ivory tower talking to Cobb and talking to Lazard, and making next to no effort to connect with a young receiver who clearly wanted there to be that connection. I don't think Romeo Doubs was thinking, nah, I'm fine. Doesn't matter. Tausch, tell us a little bit about AmFam.
Well, huge weekend. Bat signals flying everywhere on Twitter. A lot of recruits coming in. Excitement level high for the Wisconsin Badgers. And Badger fans, AmFam wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. You and a friend receive pregame sideline or courtside passes, tour the facility, tons of merch to support your Badgers. Enter today, AmFam.com/Badgers. No purchase necessary. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
Lo and Ellie is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Time now for Lo and Ellie.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Guys, we made it. Becca's back home. We did it. 18 days. She came home on Saturday night. Well, actually, I met her on Saturday night. More on that in a minute. And we are celebrating our 2-year wedding anniversary today. How about that? Remember that wedding, Jason? That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
I enjoyed that day.
Where do anniversaries rank? I want to, because like Becca got home from this road trip and we were talking about what are we going to do for our anniversary. I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said she basically just wants to sit at home tonight and just kind of relax and get back to, you know, being at home. Kind of, she's been on the road for so long. Where do anniversaries rank for you in the pantheon of things that you celebrate each year, like birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, as you, you know, grow older with family and all that kind of stuff? Where does the anniversary rank among those things?
Good question. First off, who's we? We made it. Are you talking about you, Becca? Are you talking about me, Jason?
Me and everyone. You, that's an extension of me. You know, I kind of brought everyone along with me in this adventure of 18 days solo. We did it.
Congratulations for making it. I think the anniversary ranks pretty high. I still think Christmas, I think, you know, when you start looking at everything else, familial and things like that, but anniversaries have to be in your top. I mean, it has to be Mount Rushmore. I don't know how you couldn't Mount Rushmore it, because your kids' birthdays, obviously, if you're fortunate to have kids, and you start looking at your own birthdays, I think that trumps your own birthdays. The anniversary trumps Becca's birthday. It should trump your birthday. You shouldn't cry about it when your mom and dad decide they want to go on a trip instead of waiting around for your 31st birthday. You should instead celebrate 30th, the anniversary.
30th, thank
so
you.
I look at the anniversary as, depending on how you want to rank them, it should make a Mount Rushmore list of life, yearly celebrations within your life, even if it's not on the exact anniversary day. Celebrating that year needs to be Mount Rushmore.
Our 14th anniversary is a week from tomorrow. I'm not sure Paula cares all that much about it, frankly.
Is that a bad sign?
Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's because she's not happy being married to me. I think it's just the day-to-day life that we all live. You don't necessarily, like, I think the big ones you do big stuff for, right? Like, I don't know if 15 qualifies, but for 10 I had a big plan. 20, 25, 50, hopefully.
What was your big 10-year plan?
I kind of surprised her with a evening, you know, without small people and animals and stuff like that, and actually went out, which we very rarely did. So yeah, we did some fun stuff.
Like, did you go somewhere? Did you go to like the Rustique Pizza joint and then go home?
Well, unfortunately, the restaurant where we went for our first date closed about, what would you say, about a year after? Paula's over here, so she's tuning in. Maybe 2 years after that place closed. So I kind of wanted to be able to go back to the same restaurant every time, and that obviously was not an option. So we did dinner, and then we were out and about for a while. So it was fun. But for 14, I think Sydney and Maddie have a softball game. So that'll be how we'll be celebrating the 14th.
Nice.
Whoa, Nelly!
That's like the round numbers, I feel like, are the ones that are the big significant ones. Is that true? Like, should you go big for the 12th anniversary for the...
I think you should go big for as many as you can until you have kids. So I think you should do something. I mean, you don't have to fly her off to, you know, Paris on a moment's notice for anniversary number 2. But I think you should do something. And then eventually life gets in the way of doing big things, especially if you guys are going to have kids and you're going to be busy. That would be my take.
Whoa, Nelly!
Well, I got more things to rank here in Whoa, Nelly. We attended a retirement party for Becca's aunt on Saturday night. It was a fantastic time. It was basically, it turned into being like a casual wedding. Like, there was a DJ, open bar for a good portion. It was a heck of a time. Way more than I expected for what a retirement party was going to be. Where do retirement parties rank in the pantheon of parties? Like, if you talk about a holiday party or milestone birthdays for someone that you work with. Like, where does the retirement party fit into all that? Because this was way more than I thought it was going to be, and it was a ton of fun.
I'll tell you what, you must be very sentimental today because everything is about ranking parties, ranking holidays. I think it should be very high, both from the company standpoint, and Jason just was talking about anniversaries and how, well, it's just another mundane day, and I understand what he's talking about because you do get caught up in a lot of stuff, but I think looking back at things, and I think if you ask older people, they would tell you the same thing, that you don't spend enough time celebrating big things in life. We all fall victim to getting busy and not being there, showing up and going to things that you should be at, but it's just, you don't feel like it because you're tired. And from a retirement standpoint, you think you put 30 years into a company or you put 15 years into a company and you've given them such a big part of your life and your family as well. It is a big deal when you make a decision to say, I've had enough, or I need to reprioritize and do something else. You should celebrate that, but you should also celebrate looking back and saying, man, this is a heck of a run. And everybody should share in that joy, even if it's 15 people, just to acknowledge what you've done and what you got moving. I think we don't do that enough. So, Jesse, the retirement party needs to be bigger than the funeral. Does that make sense? It needs to be bigger than the celebration of life. I think that.
Wow.
Let me ask you guys this. How many times, hold up a second. How many times do you go to a funeral? How many times do you go to a funeral and you see people you hadn't seen and everybody's like, it sucks that this is what we're getting together for. It's great to see you. I wish it was under better circumstances. We all say it. We all mean it. But nobody really does a lot about it. Well, we could. And I don't know if we will, because it's easy to talk about. But are you going to say when one of your buddies retires and he lives in Texas and you're like, oh, man, he's a tier two or a tier three friend. I don't know if I got it in me to fly down there and do it. Would you regret it if you did it? You wouldn't. So I'm going to stand by that statement.
I will say this about Mark Tauscher. It would seem, based on the conversations that we have on this show, that he does a really good job of seeing his friends that have been longtime friends of his. I don't do nearly a good enough job. That is a failure of mine, frankly. And I wish I did a better job. Again, I think if you have kids, and my friends from college who have kids in the same range as I do are just as bad as I am. Like, we just don't see each other enough because we get so caught up in our own activities and our kids' sports and ballet and whatever else it might be. So, Tausch is right about what he's saying. Now, I would say this, for a retirement party, in theory, unless you're retiring very early in your career, it should come at a time where you have a little more time on your hands, theoretically. Not you and Becca necessarily, but all of her aunt's best buddies, tier one, tier two, tier three, they should all be in the same range and maybe have time on their hands to show up for the party. So I'm not retiring at 51, so I'm still busy. But I would hope by the time there's a retirement party that I have enough time on my hands to attend.
It was a heck of a retirement party, let me tell you.
What did she retire from?
I don't work.
All right, great. Sounds like you're pretty dialed
really
in.
Invested.
Did you feel guilty that your mom's retirement party wasn't as big of a bash as this was?
No, my mom retired right when COVID started. It wasn't her fault that timing worked out exactly that way, but she had it planned. March of COVID 2020 was when she was going to retire, and yeah, just kind of, you know, the way the world was didn't work out so well.
Hey,
but, yeah.
Hey, a lot of people, Jesse, a lot of people had trips planned in 2020. You know what they did? They did them in 23. I think Jesse and Becca throw Mrs. Marcheski a monster retirement party. Because you had such a great time with your aunts, don't make any excuses. Get yourself a big night, plan it out, and enjoy your mom's retirement. Don't you think that's a great idea?
It is a great idea. I love it. Can't wait to not go to the party.
Well, I don't think you're invited.
We're not making that mistake again.
I don't think Jesse's mom, after that no-show at the wedding, I think she was a little salty. Am I right, Jesse?
I'll invite Levi to my mom's retirement party. And I bet
you know
come.
Levi will have a heck of a time.
He texted me happy anniversary this morning. Love Levi. He's great.
That's very nice. Just for clarity, I didn't no-show for the wedding. I replied, no, I wasn't coming. That's different than no-show. That's it for Whoa Nelly.
No, you being able to go and not showing up is a no-show. FYI.
Right, but I RSVP'd that I wasn't coming.
No, yes, but you not going.
That's not a no-show.
You not being there is no showing.
Whoa, Nelly!
No. What is it? Define what a no-show.
I don't think you understand the idea of a no-show.
I don't think you understand what a no-show means.
Why don't you write it off? You don't even know what a write-off is.
We'll wrap things up next.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Wrapping things up here on Wilde and Tausch. Now, Jesse, we had a great feel-good Friday on Friday with Brian Bulaga, didn't we?
We sure did. He was excellent. Tausch hasn't had a feel-good Friday in 3 weeks, but Bulaga unexpectedly involved in a run for ALS that he told us all about on Friday. Pretty cool stuff.
And it happened to be Lou Gehrig Day that he announced that on our show. So everything was kind of coming together. Now, you have a clip from him chatting on Friday?
Yes. I wanted to play this for Tausch before we go today. Brian Bulaga, Cousin Sub of the Day on Friday, talking about Aaron Rodgers' value to the Green Bay Packers while playing and after.
You got a king's ransom for this guy. You did. I mean, he brought a lot of value, not only to you as he was playing here, but now, after he's gone, he brought a ton of value to the team as well with draft picks and things like that. So you should still be interested in how he does, because obviously there's a playtime incentive, isn't there, for a first-round pick next year, I believe. So you should be concerned about that as a Packer fan. And at the end of the day, I don't know how you just turn off and not like a guy all of a sudden after you cheer for him for how many years.
Tausch, would you say that the Packers got a king's ransom in return for Aaron Rodgers from the New York Jets?
Well, Jesse, I believe I called in right as this happened on Friday when you guys bumped me off the show for Brian, and I did not think King's ransom is strong, but when you look at what Aaron Rodgers gave this organization, it's more than a King's ransom. It is a title town ransom. It's title town. It's a Super Bowl championship. It's a lot of memories. And the thought, you know, what Brian said that really, you know, King's ransom obviously is a whoop, wow, that's a big deal. But you got all of that money off the table. You set this team up. You gave 3 years of tutorial to Jordan Love. You got a quarterback coach in here that, by all accounts, has really helped Jordan. And you're getting a first-round pick and a second-round pick. All of that as a parting gift to the Green Bay Packers and its fans. That's why I understand people being irritated with him. I get all of that. But when you add up the entire sum game of what Aaron Rodgers meant to the Green Bay Packers, oh, King's ransom doesn't do it justice, what he did. And especially now, as everything is unfolding, if Jordan Love is good, you say thank you, Aaron Rodgers, again, because he has helped in that regard, but he's also helped with draft capital and salary cap management. Even though this year it's a big hit, it's zero next year. And Aaron allowed the Packers to do that too.
Yes, Aaron, thank you for counting $40.3 million against the salary cap for this year. Thank you for signing
year,
that
Jason?
Contract. Yeah, zero. Zero. Okay. That's why Brian
Did he have to do it that way? No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He did readjust his contract on the way out the door. That's it for us. We're on our way out the door. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.